Would you please open with me in your copy of God's Word to the book of Titus, chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, and we'll begin our reading in verse 2. This is the Word of God. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Bondservants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Declare these things. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given to us your word, and we confess that these things are what we need to hear. And so we ask that you administer to your people by your word and spirit. Build us up in the faith and in the love of Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, just a few moments ago, we read and sang Psalm 27. And in Psalm 27, David is beset by myriad problems. And yet he comes in verse 4 to declare his desire for one simple thing. He desires to dwell in God's house, to see the beauty of the Lord. Life has no shortage of complications. That's probably the obvious statement of the year. But at every stage of life, there are new challenges to face. It seems that finally getting over one hill, you find yourself at the bottom of the next. And so climbing this mountain, like David, we realize in verse 11, we need a guide. We need a guide who is God himself. And we need to be reminded, as we come to Titus 2:15, that God's word is sufficient, that the simple truth of the gospel is the anchor that can hold us fast even in the midst of the gale. And in Titus 2:15, Paul exhorts Titus not to seek out clever myths or secret knowledge, not to try to find out new schemes, but rather to hold fast to the simple truth of the gospel and to preach the gospel along with its implications for life. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is sufficient for all stages of life. It is able to instruct, it is able to exhort, and it is able to rebuke. And so we'll look at the text under those three headings, turning first to the instruction of the gospel. Paul begins in verse 15, declare these things. Well, what are these things? One New Testament commentator points out this really is a reference to verses 2 through 14 of chapter 2. All of what Paul has been saying in chapter 2 can be summarized as these things. And here he commands Titus to declare these things. or literally to speak these things. And nearest to mind when Paul says this is the section that begins in verse 11, the reason that grounds everything that comes before it. The grace of God has appeared. The grace of God has appeared in Christ Jesus. And Paul says, you must declare these things. Those who do not know the grace of God revealed in Jesus Christ may find temporary band-aid solutions according to common grace, but the problem that we all face is only solved by God's grace in Jesus Christ. And for that reason, these things must be declared. There is no other way of salvation, as Paul has pointed out in verses 13 and 14, that we await our blessed hope, that our great God and Savior Jesus Christ gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify us for himself. These are things that those who have not heard the gospel must know. These are things of first importance. This is the instruction that must be given to the novice in the faith. So Paul commands Titus to declare these things. But these things are not merely notions that float around in the head. These things have implications for how we live. And that's the first from verses 2 all the way through verse 10. This is what the gospel looks like at work in someone's life. And so we realize that this is not merely declaration or instruction for those outside the church. This is a declaration that each of us need daily, that we need to be reminded of these things because we are forgetful. It's easy to think, I would like to be a Christian, I would like to live as a Christian, but I just don't know what that looks like. What does it look like to grow in the grace of Christ? Paul says, start with the grace of Christ. Cling to Christ alone, clothed in his gospel. And look at what that looks like. Look at the older men who are steadfast, who are sober-minded, dignified. That's what young men are to grow up into. Look at the older women who are reverent, venerable in their behavior, worthy of respect and honor. That's what the younger women are to grow up into. This is what it looks like for those who have been redeemed from every lawless deed. And so Paul is clarifying here what it looks like that Jesus purifies a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. We can often come to these sorts of passages and say, I see that this is the starting point of the Christian life, but what's next? And Paul says, no, this is the Christian life. This is what we believe, and this is how we live every day. And so this instruction is not only for those who haven't heard, but for those who forget. And Paul also says that this is to be exhorted. See, these things are the things that you would exhort someone with. And what is exhortation? Sometimes we get the idea that exhortation is the person standing at the back with a whip in hand to goad you onward. Go forward while I stay back here. But that's not exhortation that Paul is describing. Rather, this is like the lead climber going up a mountain who can tell that the one behind him is stumbling, is stuck, is for whatever reason not able to move on and turns and reaches a hand out and says, let me help you along. The way that I've gone is safe. See, I'm here already. I'll help you along. And how do we know that that way is safe? But because Christ left his footprints along that way. And so we can exhort, for this is the prescription for the believer who has stalled in life, who has grown idle, who is stuck on the side of the mountain. Because there are no end of things that can be said to such a person. Perhaps you've been there in your life, and perhaps you've heard the advice that comes to you from every side. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Try harder. Repent more. There's something you're not doing. And what does Paul say is sufficient for exhortation here? Start with Christ. Are you clinging to Christ? This is a gift, not a work. This is the grace of Jesus Christ in our lives. So that when you've spent all your energy pushing against a door that will only ever pull open, and you've collapsed in a heap, Paul says, this one needs to know the grace of Christ that is sufficient. Just stop for a second and look at where you're actually looking. What is your gaze fixed upon? So this is why Proverbs 4:25 says, let your gaze be directly forward. Let your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and then all your ways will be sure. Paul reminds us of the same thing here in Titus 2:15. For the one who is struggling to the point of exhaustion, look at where that effort is going. Odds are you're not clinging to Christ if you're finding that all the reasons you're trying to be justified in your own works are falling short. It's because your works cannot justify you. See the structure that Paul has given to us here. In verse 11, it's not do these things so that the grace of God will be active in your heart. It's rather the grace of God is a gift that is given and is active in your heart, and it works out in these ways. To reverse the order is an exercise in futility. And it can crush you under the weight of the law. And that's why we need the good news of Jesus Christ. That's why we need to be reminded. That's why God's word needs to exhort us when we have stalled, to remember the way we're going, to look at what is before our feet. And this is also why Proverbs 4 reminds us to keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. This is why Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so the question that can be answered with this exhortation is, what are you seeking your identity in? Is your heart established on Jesus Christ alone? Are you receiving and resting in Christ alone for your salvation? If you're struggling with spiritual languishing, Paul reminds us that the gospel is sufficient, that Jesus Christ is sufficient. And then, once we understand this, then Paul's exhortation makes sense, because the things in verses 2 through 10, the sober-mindedness, the dignity, the self-control, can be summarized as wisdom. The wisdom that flows from Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God made manifest. And how can someone be made wise unto salvation but through the word of God, which is sufficient for life and godliness? And this is why we are required, we are called to diligently attend to the means of grace. How often, if we cut ourselves off from God's word, if we forsake the gathering of the saints, do we find ourselves starving, as if we could be fed on anything other than the bread of life? But Paul reminds us, no, look to Christ. Look to Christ clothed in his gospel. The regular discipline of the word of God is absolutely necessary for the life of the believer. In this world of complex solutions to complex problems, we need to remember that God's solution is simple. Look to Christ. Call upon his name. How often are we quick to forget the weapons that God has given to us? Do we lay down the sword in favor of a stick? We need to be reminded that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and that he calls a people to himself and washes them in his blood. That's the exhortation that Paul is commanding here. Turn to Christ. But beyond instruction and exhortation, Paul also says rebuke. Rebuke. See, these things, this gospel of Jesus Christ is sufficient to rebuke error. What do we turn to when someone comes up and tries to poke holes in the Christian faith? Paul says, go back to the basics. What was sufficient for instruction? What was sufficient for exhortation? That too is sufficient for rebuke. Look to Christ. Start with Christ. And only then can you turn and show that critic what is actually happening by the grace of God in the lives of believers. Paul says that this sort of Christian life will rebuke. We see the older man who is steadfast by God's grace, the older woman who is dignified by God's grace, the younger woman who is kind and submissive and pure by God's grace, the young man who is self-controlled by God's grace. And we say, do you think this is because we're great? This is because we serve a great God. And let that answer the critic. And lest we think that that critic is standing outside the church and not taking up residence in our own hearts, we need to be reminded that God's word rebukes us. Proverbs 27, verse 6 reminds us, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And often we come to Scripture and find ourselves cut. We find ourselves pierced by the sword of the Spirit, that God speaks to us and reveals to us our sin. But he does not do so to drive us to despair, but rather to show us the grace that is ours in Christ. See, we need the rebuke of Scripture that says, look outward. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look at him. And look at the love of God that is active in the fellowship of the saints. Look at what God is doing in his church. Look at the growth of grace in your own life. Who are you to deny the Spirit's work? It's so easy to struggle with the experience of assurance, which I believe most believers will struggle with at some point. But what is the rebuke that we need when we struggle with that kind of assurance? It's not look at yourself, it's look at Christ. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. This is the good news of the gospel. And this is sufficient for us. For the salvation that Christ has bought is not up for debate. It is not up to our haggling. It is a free gift that is given to us. And so Paul reminds Timothy that he is to teach, exhort, and rebuke, and to do so with all authority. Why? Titus.
Is it because of Titus?
No, his authority is that he bears the message of Christ. As a herald of the good news, he does not rely on his own authority, but on the authority of the one who has sent him. And when a herald proclaims in the name of the king, it is on the authority of the king that that message is given. And so Jesus Christ, who has all authority, not only by his work of creation, but by his work of redemption, has commissioned his ministers to proclaim the redemption that is in his blood. And that is a message that comes with the authority of Christ himself. And so who gets to disregard that message? Well, Paul says, let no one disregard you, because to regard this message is to have life. This is the good news of Jesus Christ, that Christ Jesus came to save sinners.
And he succeeded in that.
May God make his word effective in our hearts by his Spirit, stirring us up for love for him and for one another, so that as we walk by faith, we might see ever more clearly the beauty of our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we confess that we need your word. We confess that we often forget the grace that has been given to us. We view that grace as a starting point, but we need your reminder that this is sufficient for us. And so we ask that you would encourage your saints by your Spirit, that you would instruct us, that you would exhort us, and that you would rebuke us by your word, that we might be conformed more and more into the image of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.